It's Neil Henderson from Planet Mosh, and tonight I have the very great pleasure of being joined by The Mission. If you guys would like to introduce yourselves, please.
Hi, I'm Wayne.
And I'm Simon, sitting to your right.
That's Craig over there, otherwise engaged.
This is the first night of the tour. Obviously, guys, you've all played lots of shows before. Do you still get the first night nerves?
Well, actually, we did a warm-up last night in Stockton-on-Tees, so I suppose, strictly, this is our second show.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we get nervous every night. Well, I mean, I do anyway. I mean, I think it's part of the ritual. So I think if I didn't get nervous, it would be time to give it up, really.
I
don't think Simon gets nervous.
No, I do from time to time. Usually at the beginning of the tour I'll be a bit nervous, but generally not. No.
Yeah.
My take was always being that I know that I'm on the winning team, so I tend not to get nervous.
Yeah. Because, I mean, obviously you rehearse for shows and decide what songs you're going to play, or selection of songs you've got to play. You might change the set slightly.
Yeah.
But yeah. Actually, you're out when you... You know, the first time you're out there in front of a crowd doing it?
Well, we've rehearsed like 26 or 27 songs through this tour. And we played, 22 of them last night, I think. We did two sets. So, I do like to swap it up every night. Particularly in places like Britain and Europe, UK and Europe, because there are a lot of people that come to more than one show. So, you know, switch it up. It also keeps these boys on their toes, you know.
As The Mission, this it'd be quite a while since you actually played in Glasgow, I believe.
Yeah, I was trying to think about that. I think it is a fair few years. I mean, I can't remember when last time The Mission played here.
Not with me, I'm sure.
No, it was probably 2005, something like that, maybe 2007.
I know the last time I saw you in Glasgow, I believe, was 1993. Which was quite eventful. We'll get to that in a minute. was that thanks to your good self? You were basically looking out for some fans, and you were playing to out of strength, or rather, you started playing to out of strength, and you stopped. You put your guitar down. You jumped off the stage in the Glasgow Barrowlands, jumped into the audience, and had, an altercation with the security. For roughing up the crowd.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't sound like me at all. Funny that, because I did that exactly the same thing last night.
So nothing's changed then?
Yeah, I don't tend to do it very often these days, you know, because the bones are a bit more brittle, I suppose. But I don't know, you get carried away with the moment, you know. And I think a large part of what The Mission is about, certainly in terms of live shows, I mean, I think, you know, that the people who buy a ticket, they make a deal with us, you know. It's part of the deal is it's we expect from them what they expect from us, so
yes.
You know, so sometimes I just want to get a bit closer, shall we say.
Well, I'm actually really glad that you did it, because after that you got back on stage, the band played the song from the start in full, went off stage, and we waited a rather long time, a lot longer than normal, for the encore. In fact, they'd put the house lights on, but the fans didn't leave. You eventually came back on, and there was no security there at all.
That's happened twice, actually.
The next 15 minutes, Wayne, was just absolute heaven, because you played, the crowd went absolutely bonkers, and for me anyway, it was some of the best 15 minutes of rock and roll I've ever seen in my life.
Wow. Well, it's a shame I can't remember it.
Anyway,
thank you.
Yeah, not a problem. Anyway, on to more modern matters. You have a new album out, The Brightest Light. How has the reaction been to it? Certainly, when I first heard it, I wasn't too sure. I could hear bits of the mission in it, but then the more I played it, it sort of grew on me.
Well, I do think it's a grower, but no, I mean, when you say, you know, it had bits of the mission, I mean, it is a mission album.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we made it as a band. We went in and recorded it. We recorded it together in a room, and I think more than any other record of ours, probably, this sounds like we sound live. So I don't get where... If people have come to see us live over the years,
mm-hmm.
they know what we sound like. This is what that record sounds like to me. You know, we didn't go in and layer up a million guitars and spend ages treating everything. You know, we did it, and it's quite raw. And I think it is a very fair representation of what we sound like live. Certainly now.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't get this argument.
Or maybe it's
I think maybe the subject matters aren't so kind of esoteric on the lyrics, but I don't think most people bother about the lyrics anyway. You know, it's only singers and journalists that really care about lyrics, isn't it?
Yeah.
Crazy contribution.
Yeah. I mean,
I've heard people call it our Marmite album, and I'm okay with that. You know, you either like it, you either love it, or you hate it, and that's fine with me.
Well, I wouldn't go so fast to say Marmite album. It certainly grew on me.
Yeah, I think it's a grower. I think that's the problem. I think people's attention spans are very, very short these days. So, you know, with anybody's record, I mean, like for me, I'm a big fan of Radiohead, and every time they release an album, I think, oh, this is not as good as OK Computer or Amnesiac.
Yeah.
But then, you know, because I'm a fan, I listen to it and listen to it and listen to it, and eventually I grow to love it. Whereas if it's a new band and somebody says, oh, I've never listened to this, if I don't like the first three songs, then I won't listen to it again. So I think people aren't really prepared to give something the benefit of the doubt and persist with it, because there's so much, so many other options out there, which is fair enough.
Talking of options, there's, well, certainly in music, there's all these shows like The X Factor, etc., etc. Whereas bands like yourself and that have done it years playing clubs and gradually getting bigger and bigger. Do you think that shows like that these days, with sort of like instant stardom, shall we say, getting in the way and affect music these days?
Well, I don't know. I don't really care. I don't watch the shows, you know. I mean, at the few occasions that I've seen them, I do think that it's become very... how can I say, there is no real style or individuality in those shows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, you wouldn't have got people like Robert Smith or Susie or Morrissey or Bjork or even myself, you know. I wouldn't have got on those shows. And that's the thing about them. It's not about something that's unique and individual. It's about something that conforms to what's expected to be in the top 10. You know, we're realistic. We're not going to get in the top 10, so I don't...
We never have.
No, absolutely.
So, number 11 a couple of times.
Yeah, so it, you know, to me, I don't really care. I mean, I think what it does do, it brings a lot of instant celebrity to a lot of people that don't really deserve it.
Yes. Because, I mean, like, you have all these bands out there, I see, obviously, quite a few. And the great and the live, and obviously they're working the bollocks off, and a lot of them, they're getting little or no recognition, and certainly no money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, compared to, you know, people who go in these shows and...
Well, you say that, I don't know how much money these people get for making these shows. You know, for going on these shows, because basically they're puppets.
Yes.
You know, they'll have a whole organisation around them. You know, and so at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of people taking a slice of that pie. You know, and it's a fallacy that you know. I mean, obviously, if you're very successful, you can earn a lot of money making music. But it's a fallacy, to think that people like us, for instance, are wealthy, because we're not. You know, we're working musicians. We managed to sustain a living through the years by doing this. But none of us are wealthy. None of us can sit back and think, "Oh, look at my big pile. I'm going to retire now
and do nothing."
And it's only the really the lucky few that get to that position.
Yeah. You live all over the world. Obviously, you live in South America, and does that cause problems? Working as a band, or is it just something you've adapted to?
Well, we don't rehearse every Sunday in the local youth club, you know. We can't do that. But basically we get together when we have things to do, and I mean, obviously there's logistics involved in that, but again, we have, you know, we have George, our manager, that organises all that, you know. It's not a problem for us. I mean, there's always internet, I mean, and stuff, so we can keep in touch by that and Skype. I mean, not that we do, you know, I mean, basically, when we go our separate ways, we stay in touch, you know, occasionally, but it's not like we're in each other's lives 24/7. Mm. Not like it maybe it was back, you know, 20 odd years ago.
Yeah. Seeing you mentioned 20, you remastered and re-released the first 5 albums with...
You know more than me, yeah.
Yeah. With... copious leaf notes, lots of extras, etc. Was that deliberate to give lots of extras to make it worthwhile for like the fans to actually...
Of course it is. I mean,
as opposed to, because I mean, there's quite a few bands that just remaster the album and that's it.
Well, you know, it's about quality, I think, you know. I mean, certainly from my point of view, I didn't really see the value in remastering just the album and re-releasing it, because for instance, you know, if some, you know, Bowie's remastered Ziggy Stardust or whatever, you know, but I wouldn't go out and buy it. I've already got it.
Yeah.
And the remastering for me doesn't really make much difference.
Well,
you know?
Sometimes it fucks it up, actually.
Yeah, well, sometimes it does, yeah.
If you're used to what it sounds like on vinyl and...
Exactly. I mean, if a thing is of its time and you grew up listening to that album, why would you want it to sound different? You know, you'd want it to sound exactly the same, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, understand that there's new technology out there, but, you know, the past is the past, and that's where it should stay, really. So yeah, in answer to your question, if I hadn't have been involved in those re-releases, those reissues or whatever they call them, remasters, then they would have just come out as albums. But Universal got in touch and asked if I would be involved, and so I did the sleeve notes and all the rest of it, and we trawled through the vaults to see what other bits and pieces were left over, and we stuck them on there just to make it more valuable.
Yes,
to somebody that might want it.
Well, certainly from a fan's point of view, as you said, you did the sleeve notes, which are quite extensive and I think quite honest, and some of the things, like when the comments I really like is on the Captain Sand, where you said the mission bought the ticket but they never took the ride. Do you think that was a good... You glad that you never took the ride, or...?
I don't know. You know, I'm happy where I am.
Yeah.
I am, I'm in a very good place in my life on a personal level. And I'm professionally, you know, I'm really enjoying what we're doing. And, you know, we have a lot of freedom in what we do, too. So, I mean, if we'd taken that ride and become as big as you two, you know, or whatever, you know, bigger, obviously we'd all like to sell more records and play to more people. But there comes other pressures and other problems with all of that, you know. I'm happy where I am, so I can't regret something.
Yeah, well, you're not like sat there thinking, if only I'd done.
Yeah,
if maybe.
Because if it had gone a different way, we wouldn't be sat here today doing this.
Yes,
for whatever reason.
You've Simon, Wayne, you've both worked with other people, done like solo stuff, collaborations. Julianne Regan springs to mind. My brain's just gone.
Eden House.
Eden House. Yeah, and that was the one that I knew it was a band I'd seen. And you've got, as you were saying, you've got considerable freedom. Do you enjoy doing other stuff outside?
I do, yeah. If it's just a case of come along and play some guitar on a few tracks. I really do like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know.
He's a guitar for hire.
Yeah,
if anybody out there wants a fantastic guitar player, Simon's your man.
God bless you.
Mike does a lot of stuff too.
Fantastic guitar player.
Oh no. But he does a lot of playing with other people, don't you? Sessions and stuff.
A slut.
Yeah?
A slut.
You are a slut, yeah, in more ways than one. He's just played on the New World Cup single for.
I had a World Cup. One of them, I think this was.
Yeah.
Two takes, who knows?
Which I'm sure the football fans will no doubt either slag it or buy it.
Yeah, I'm not really mad at football, so it wasn't really that.
Well, neither am I. I know what Wayne is.
It is, yeah.
I've gone and forgot what the next question is. The. After you've got this tour, what is. After you finish in the UK, what's next for the mission?
After we finish here, we got four shows in Germany. It takes us up to Christmas Eve.
And so, then time off?
Well, I mean, time off. I mean,
well,
you know.
Christmas anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if you looked at it from the outside, you'd say most of my time was off. But, you know, I mean, I have a studio at home, so I tend to potter about in there most days and, you know. If something happens, something happens. If it doesn't, there's nothing lost. I mean, as a band, I think that we've got a few tentative plans for next year, maybe South America in the middle of the year after the World Cup. But besides that, we have no real long-term plans.
So there's no plans for like another album or is it
not
just
at the moment? I mean, obviously, I guess at some point we might think about it, and, you know, like the idea of doing it, but not at the moment. We just released one. Got other things.
That's what I think.
got other things to do.
Like go and promote it around the.
Well, that and but no, I mean, I think Simon wants to do another solo record. I mean, Craig and Mike go off and play with other bands. Spear of Destiny being one of them.
Yeah.
And Craig also plays with Alarm. I mean, I think when they go out and play, they'll have to learn like 40 odd songs or something.
Yeah.
Which he's always deliriously happy about.
That's something you've written. You were saying about learning songs. When you come to like rehearse, decide what songs you're going to do for a tour, and you start playing them again, do you? You have to go back and listen to them to remember like the words or the chord changes, etc.
If it's something we haven't played for a long time, yeah. But I mean, when we got back together in 2011, it's a weird thing this really, because over the years there's a lot of songs I continue playing with various lineups, and I never listened to the records, you know. So each member of the band came in and they would try to imprint their own personality on the song. So they would bring something new to it, and it was quite amazing really how the songs had changed over the years without me really recognizing that. So when we got back together again in 2011 and started playing the songs, it was like immediately, wow, this is what it was originally this is what it originally sounded like, this was how it was written, you know, originally. So it was quite amazing, actually, the difference between what it ended up before we got back together to the originals.
Yeah.
The thing I found really amazing about it was when the whole idea was, suggested that we were going to get together and do these old songs, I started listening through them and I started playing along. And even though I hadn't played these songs for how many years, you know, it was quite amazing how there was this sort of motor memory in there.
Yes, and you saw it in your
head. Run over them a couple of times, it's like, yeah, I remember this. when we're rehearsing here, it's very rare we ever go back and listen to an original recording.
Mike does more than anybody else.
Yeah, he does, because it's all newer to him.
He's the new boy.
Is this why you are back playing 12 string more than, like, if you look at the stuff, the shows that were done in the Shepherd's Bush, you're just playing a six string guitar, whereas when I saw you obviously in Birmingham last year, was the last year here, and now you're playing a 12 string more just like you were when you first started?
I think I just kind of got a bit bored with the 12 string, to be honest. And so, you know, the six string is definitely easier to play.
Yes.
I think I've just got a bit lazy, maybe. Just want to make life a little easier for myself. Mm. But also, I think there's just the songs that kind of came in the intro, and there was a lot less 12 string. So, you know, it didn't seem as essential. But when we got back together again, I mean, Sheck took guitars very nicely, furnished us all with new guitars. They made me a 12 string, you know. I'm not going to turn that down, am I?
No, obviously. No. Yeah. So, you know, it's very nice, I must admit.
And it is a very nice guitar to play too, mm-hmm. You know. It makes those old songs sound like they should sound, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because I'm coming back to it, listening to the original stuff, it's mm-hmm. almost like it's caused full circle, and you're going to make it sound more like the originals, like it did, because I haven't been in the interim period. Yeah.
Well, neither are Craig and Simon, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You've played with the Fields and Evelyn before. Mm-hmm. So how was that, just like a progression from playing with them before to now doing the tour with the band?
Yeah, really. I mean, when we did the 25th anniversary show in London, we were looking around for someone who would be, you know, special guests at that one. Mm-hmm. And somebody suggested the Nephilim, and they agreed to do it. Despite our, how can I say, our history of bitching at each other. And I mean, you know, I thought it was a good mixture of bands, really. I mean, obviously there's a crossover of audience, you know, to
yes,
a degree.
There is.
But at the same time, I thought it were, you know, quite different, really.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, you're both obviously would to be listed under genre of gothic or goth, and. But yeah, very different.
Yeah, we're a lot more rock than they are.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they are, I think, quite proud to be called goth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas I think, I admit, not that I'm bothered by being called goth, but mm-hmm. I personally think of us as being a rock band, right, first and foremost.
Okay, on that, I think we'll wrap up, so look at the time. If you have any last words you would like to say to the audience, please?
Not really.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Xmas, yeah.
I thought we were a goth group, that's when I answered the advert.
That's why I joined.
Not heard that line for a bit.
Yeah, really.
Okay, thank you very much, guys.
You're welcome.